Zig Ziglar, and I'm in a studio sharing with you a couple of thoughts before we go to the live audience. To begin with, this program is literally for everyone, whether you're a mechanic or a physician, whether you're a college professor or a kindergarten student. The information is something that you will benefit from. Let me say simply that this series is about hope. Alfred Adler said that hope is the foundational quality of all change. It's my conviction that encouragement is the fuel of that hope. And so this entire series is designed to encourage and inform. Now, with this in mind, I encourage you to let the entire family, and for that matter, the people you work with, listen to this regardless of their age and regardless of what they do. Countless adults have shared with me that these concepts have had a dramatic influence in their lives. One last thought before we go to the live audience. When this presentation is over and you hear the applause, don't turn it off, because after that, I'm going to share with you one of the most encouraging stories that you will ever hear. It's about a person who had no reason to have hope, and then one day something happened. You will love it. Now, let's go to that live audience. In the first 77 seconds of this presentation, I will give you an idea which you will agree is absolutely significant. In the first 12 minutes, I will give you four concepts that if you will apply them will make a difference in your life. As I present them to you, you're going to be thinking to yourself, you know, I like that, I'm going to remember it. But the reality is, when I finish this presentation, virtually none of you who are listening to this could give all four of them back to me. And that's the reason we will encourage you to listen over and over and over, because repetition is the mother of learning. That makes it the father of action. That means it's the architect of accomplishment. Now, let's start with this. How many of you have ever either heard me before, or else this will be your first time? Could I see your hands, please? All right. Now, the second question is kind of tricky, so stay with me. How many of you honestly and sincerely believe? As a matter of fact, you're totally convinced beyond any doubt. There's something you can specifically do in the next 2 weeks that would make your personal life, your family life, and your business life all worse. May I see your hands in the live audience, okay? You probably know the next question then. How many of you believe there's something you can specifically do that will make all of them better, okay? Now, as you listen to this on tape, I hope you're responding to me as well. How many of you believe that the choice is yours? Can I see your hands? How many of you believe that every choice has an end result? May I see your hand? How many of you believe making the right choices is your responsibility? All right. Now, in these seconds that we've been talking, and it's actually a little less than 77 seconds, here's what you have said, whether you realize it or not. You have just said that regardless of how good or bad my past has been, regardless of how good or bad my present is, there's something I can specifically do now that will make my future either better or worse, and the choice is mine. Now, folks, that's profound. I'll always tell you when I've said something profound. And the reason I do is I found out a few years ago that an incredibly high percentage of my audiences do not recognize my profound statements when I make them unless I tell them this is profound. Now, this is going to involve a lot of communications. We had a lady right here in Dallas went down to see her attorney about a divorce. And the lawyer said, "What's the problem?" And she started rambling. He said, "No," said, "be specific." And she said, "Like how?" And he said, "Well, do you have any grounds?" She said, "Oh, yes." As a matter of fact, we got about 40 acres right out here on the north end of town. He said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about." Said, "Do you have a grudge?" She said, "No, but we've got a really neat little carport there right on the side of the house." And he said, "Woman, we need to make this personal." She said, "Like how?" And he said, "Well, does that man ever beat you up?" She said, "Oh, no." Said, "I'm up every day at least an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before he even turns over." And he said, well, do you accept any responsibility for the difficulty? And she said, like how? And he said, well, for example, do you ever wake up grouchy? She said, oh, no. Said, I just let him get up on his own, whenever he will. And he said, well, why do you want to divorce the man? And she said, well, the guy just can't communicate. Now, we're going to try to make the communication such that as you listen to this tape, you will have no difficulty understanding exactly what I am talking about. Everything is choice. For example, for 24 years of my adult life, by choice, I weighed well over 200 pounds. Now, the reason I say by choice is simply because I have never accidentally eaten anything. Always a choice. Now, if I choose to eat too much, then I have chosen to weigh too much. You are where you are in many ways because of a series of choices that you have made. Now, I'm the 10th of 12 children. I asked my mom one time, I said, Mom, why so many? And she said, well, son, where do you think I should have stopped? Well, it's for sure I didn't think after number 9. Now, you can absolutely count on that. Let me say something that I think is very important. A few minutes ago, you made the observation that the responsibility was yours to make the right choices. Now, responsibility carries a lot of weight in life. Barbara Tuchman, 2-time Pulitzer Prize winner, said the number one need we have in our society today are people who will accept responsibility. And that is so tremendously true. Most people that I speak to think I'm in my early 30s, but actually, I'm 68. Now, what that means is I was raised during the Depression. My dad died when I was 5 years old. There were 6 of us too young to work. Small Mississippi town, Yazoo City. We don't even have a village drunk. We share with a little community, next to us. But it's exciting. About once a month, a train comes through town. And I know that doesn't sound like excitement until I explain we don't have tracks there. And then that, that puts it in a different category. It really does. We used to hang a mirror at the end of Main Street, make the town look bigger. Well, anyhow, small Mississippi town. Now, let me say something here. I can tease about my hometown for one very good reason. It's an amazing little town. Former president of the American Medical Association from Yazoo City. Former president of the American Bar Association from Yazoo City. Former president of the Southern Baptist Convention from Yazoo City. The former editor of Harper's Magazine is from Yazoo City. Former secretary of agriculture is from Yazoo City. Chairman of the Republican Party is from Yazoo City. Jerry Clowers is from Yazoo City. Now, I have no idea what happened to the other 3. But, I can tease about my hometown because it has been so productive, and we're going to be using humor throughout because, you see, people learn faster, they learn more, and they remember longer. But the major point I'm making there is we can tease about that little town because of its productivity. People who are confident and productive, they don't mind you kidding them along. Good, clean kidding and humor, I think, very definitely has a place. Now, I don't need to tell you that as a 10th of 12 children, 6 of them being too young to work, heart of the Depression, small Mississippi town, we had a tough time financially in the Depression. Other families had it tough, too. But I'm so grateful that for whatever reason, I did not choose to notice what we did not have. What I did notice is what a lot of people did have in that little town. See, even in those times, I noticed some people wore nice clothes. They drove nice cars. They lived in nice houses. They took nice trips. They even had dinner out. Some of them even played golf at the country club. You know what I've noticed in every decade of my life since, and this is the message I really want you to get right here. I've noticed that regardless of the economy, there are some people who don't pay any attention at all to it. As you well know, the media has accurately predicted 27 of the last 2 recessions. Now, there are some people who just don't pay any attention to what other people are doing. For example, I've noticed without exception that in some instances, many instances, when the economy is absolutely magnificent, there are a bunch of folks going broke. I have noticed that in some instances where the economy is absolutely horrible, there are a bunch of folks getting rich. How many of you have noticed exactly the same thing? Now, this is major point number two. Major point number one is you do have a choice. You can do something now about your life, making it either better or worse, and the choice is here. Number two is this. It is not what is going on out there. You see, a lot of that you cannot change. There's nothing you can do about Bosnia at this moment personally. There is something you can do about you and your future, and that's what I want to be talking about. It's not what happens out there that makes a difference in your life. It's what goes on between your own two ears. Now, that's what makes the difference.